Senate Education Committee, please come to order. It is Wednesday, January 23rd, 2018. The time is exactly 8 o'clock. In attendance, myself, Senator Stevens chairing, Senator Giesel, Senator Coghill, Senator Begich, and Senator Hughes may be here later. This is sort of a hard time because we have a committee at 9 o'clock, but Senator Coghill has agreed to chair if we need to go on, so I don't want to rush folks. We should have a chance to hear everyone. And here's Senator Hughes, if you can make way for there. Thank you for being here. So we have a quorum to conduct business. And today we're going to continue hearings on Senate Bill 131 relating to early funding for the education budget. It's my intention to hear and hold this bill today. So primarily, we want to have a discussion and questions and testimony from the Department of Education, from school districts and other stakeholders. We also have the Commissioner of Education here with us, Dr. Michael Johnson, to talk about hopefully relating to this bill, but also relating to the Alaska Education Challenge and its context and how it fits in. So if you would please join us, state your name for the record and begin your testimony. We'll start with Dr. Johnson. Thank you for being with us, Commissioner.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Stevens and members of the committee. It's an honor to be here with you in 2018. I've been looking forward to the opportunity to see each of you individually, but to be here with you, serving alongside you, the people of Alaska. Thank you for the opportunity to update you on the work of the Alaska Education Challenge that Senator Giesel mentioned in the hearing last week. The AK Ed Challenge began about this time last year. Hundreds of Alaskans have participated in the process, beginning with a statewide survey, then progressing to include committee meetings with dozens of citizens in our state. I want to thank each of you, though, for participating in those meetings, along with parents, students, educators, and others. Your engagement in those meetings inspired other participants to contribute, but it also reassured folks that there's a level of accountability involved with the Alaska Education Challenge. And so I appreciated the many hours that you invested in that process. And what many Alaskans may not know, but as I've reflected on the commitment that each of you made in the House Education Committee, what many Alaskans may not know is the depth of educational experience that you brought to those committee meetings in addition to your role as legislators. Chair Stevens has served on a school board. Senator Coghill has been a teacher. Senator Begich knows as much about rural education in Alaska as anyone. Senator Hughes has been for many years involved in schools, starting with her own children. And Senator Giesel still, to this day, volunteers regularly in a local public school. So as a commissioner, as I prepared testimony today, I'm both honored that you were involved and I'm humbled by the contribution you made to those committees. So thank you very much. It was meaningful. Senator Giesel, I very much appreciated how you articulated your question during last week's hearing when you asked, what have we gleaned from all this work over the past year? So I hope to answer that question briefly and then take your questions. First, the challenge began and has continued around and with unity around a dissatisfaction with the tragic achievement gap that currently exists in our state, as well as an optimism that together we can inspire all Alaskans to share a vision for both raising expectations and closing the achievement gap. The results of all that work, I think, is more unity than I'd even hoped for, and more impatience than I had expected. People want something to happen quickly. Blessed with both of those sentiments, though, I think the legislature can be assured that we're in a really good place moving forward. As I describe what we've gleaned, I want to remind the committee that our effort to address the achievement gap really includes two projects that developed hand-in-hand parallel to each other. The Alaska Education Challenge work, alongside of that, over 4,000 Alaskans contributed to the development of Alaska's plan for the Every Student Succeeds Act. And I think I'm supposed to be moving along here. As we had hoped, both projects are designed to accomplish the same purpose, which is an excellent education for every single student in our state. Through both processes, it became clear that Alaskans have focused on three primary commitments for Alaska students. And I do mean commitments. Within each of these commitments are both the 13 recommendations that came through the Alaska Education Challenge and the new accountability system that's part of Alaska's ESSA plan. The three commitments, as you can see, are one, increased student success. Alaskans want to see students be more successful. Cultivate safety and well-being in all of our schools, and support responsible and reflective learning. And I hope over the course of the session we're able to, with our partners, speak more in depth about each of those. These are commitments. These are not preferences. With commitments come action. And as we unify around these commitments, we want everything we do to be purposeful so that we remain focused on raising our expectations and closing our achievement gap. So what are our next steps? First, whatever we do, it must be with the unity that we have established. Unity isn't a strategy, but we will not implement any strategy effectively without some measure of unity. So I want to thank the partners, many of that I've seen sitting in the room this morning, who have publicly stated their support and have publicly led their organizations to share these commitments. And I hope, if your calendar allows over the session, that they'll have an opportunity to talk in depth with you about the work that they're doing. They've already been meeting and some unprecedented meetings. I was in a meeting just recently where two of the organizations could not remember a time where both of them had been in the same room talking about a shared vision. So I want to thank them. We could not, nor would I want to move forward without them. The wisdom, expertise, and leadership has been, that they've shown, has been and will continue to be valued by the department. Next, actually currently, we've had meetings with the partners in this room to methodically and carefully align our current practice, where it's working, with the promising practices that were identified through the Alaska Education Challenge and the ESSA plan, recognizing that there are many areas in our state where there are strengths and we're seeing success. Based on that alignment, we'll be working with each district and community with the 13 recommendations and implementing a new accountability system. And the accountability system is really work that's happening now and will be immediate because it is it will take effect in the next school year. So there's no quick fix for the challenges we face in society that are reflected in our public schools. We will never legislate, regulate, spend, cut, blame, promise, excuse, or wish our way to great schools. We must want great schools so much that we will do whatever it takes to have them. We must have the character needed to share a vision and work together to support that vision. Deed will lead, but we are grateful that others have stepped up to share these commitments and work thoughtfully on how to best implement purposeful change in our public education system. One size will not fit all in Alaska. We have schools with near 100% graduation rates and others with tragically low achievement. Tribes are an example of partner organizations that are ready, willing, and fully capable of transforming educational opportunities in our state. The School Boards Association, Superintendent Association, and the NEA are other examples that are all demonstrating intentional leadership around these commitments and the work of the AKED Challenge. So my hope is that in 5 years, there will be students reading who would not otherwise have learned to read apart from this work. And in relation to the bill that we're speaking to in the committee today, I'll just add, there's from my perspective, there's a lot of emotional energy expended in the uncertainty of the final budget process. This what-if context inadvertently, focuses all the attention in education on money every spring. And though I want to exemplify good stewardship and investment in education, mostly I want Alaska students to know that our emotional energy is focused on things a lot more important than money when it comes to education. What I hope is that through this bill and the Alaska Education Challenge, that we can redirect that emotional energy toward implementing tailored solutions for raising expectations and closing the achievement gap in our state. So thank you for the opportunity to share with you today.
Well, thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate all you've had to say, but also all the work that occurred because of the Alaska Challenge. That was a tremendous opportunity to for all of us who were involved to learn more about the issues that you and the districts and the teachers face. Could you reflect on well, first let me say that things I've heard, and may not be true, but the problems that the districts are having in hiring teachers, that what are the meetings you go to where you new teachers show up and you hire them or not? I understand there are fewer people showing up to those sessions, and I understand that may not be true, but that districts are even having to hire people that are less qualified than they want because of that. Could you reflect on that issue of teachers and access to new teachers and where our teachers are coming from?
Chair Stevens, so nationally there's difficulty with recruiting teachers, but also teacher retention, and so keeping teachers once they get in the field. And as I understand it, and as I understand human nature, the reasons for that are as varied as the people that choose to go into education and that choose to leave. When districts share with me, there's varying levels of difficulty when it comes to hiring teachers. So not every district experiences the same difficulty. And not every area of teaching has the same amount of difficulty recruiting teachers. So there are some, as I understand it, some roles, grades, subjects that are a lot easier to hire than others. There are some very, very difficult roles to fill, special education being one of them. Science and math being other ones. And so while we focus on how important it is to be able to recruit and retain teachers, we also need to focus on the quality of those teachers. And I know the partners behind me have been discussing and working on that very issue.
Thank you, Dr. Johnson. Now, questions of the committee? Senator Hughes.
Senator Begich was first, but...
Senator Begich, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Johnson, good to see you back. One of the priorities is ensure excellent educators, and just following up on the chairman's comments, the SB 131 is looking at an earlier budgeting process. Last week we heard testimony from the superintendent from Kenai, who suggested that that might improve their ability to retain and recruit teachers. What impact do you believe that an earlier education budget in the cycle would have on recruitment and retention of teachers?
Just certainty on funding so that you know what positions you can fill. And so if you wait, and I'm speaking through the chair, Senator Begich, I'm speaking from some experience as a superintendent. The longer you wait to recruit, it changes the nature of the candidate pool that you're hiring from, because later in the year, people are making decisions, especially in rural Alaska, about where they need to live and for the next year. So certainly, I know there are many other factors, but I think it is safe and truthful to say that an earlier certainty about a district's budget helps them to be more efficient and effective in their recruiting.
Senator Hughes.
Thank you, and it's good to be back in person and good to see you. And I want to thank you for your leadership, the timeliness. I just feel like it was part of Alaska's destiny, really, to have you in this position and to lead the Alaska Education Challenge effort. It was indeed a pleasure to participate in some of the meetings and the calls. And you set the tone of innovation and being open and to out-of-the-box kind of things as an educator. And you maybe didn't know this, but I was a teacher in my younger days. And, excuse me, and I was graced with being given liberty to do some innovative things. And I've spoken with many teachers over time and how important that is for them to have the flexibility. So I appreciate your leadership in that regard. And the virtual education was something we discussed at great length last session, and it was also part of the Alaska Education Challenge effort and discussion. And it is timely also because of the national teacher shortage. And so that we can get those cream of the crop teachers that might choose to reside in the urban area, that our students in the rural districts would have access to them. So I really appreciate that. And I'll just make a side note. I was delighted to learn recently, I heard the USDA deputy secretary speak that dollars for rural broadband will be part of the capital infrastructure project that the Trump administration is going to be working with Congress on. So I just want to get that on the public record. So that will be something that we should be in touch with our federal delegation, and will pair nicely with the Alaska Education Challenge efforts and recommendations. And so I just wanted to say thank you. Now, those were my comments, Mr. Chair. My question is a little bit along a different line. You mentioned partners and the importance of unity moving forward, and I believe you mentioned that the tribes stand ready to partner. Could you talk to us a little bit more what that might look like?
Through the Chair, Senator Hughes, first of all, we're all thankful to see you, and welcome back, and we continue to hope for a speedy recovery. So thank you for your energy and commitment to the legislature, the people of Alaska. So I can't answer how that will look, and partly because and I don't want to make predictions, because I want to leave it I'm excited about what I think are going to be some great conversations around tribes compacting, however that may look, in public education. And I think that conversation expands to other parts of the education system that can be really healthy, good conversations. How that look, my sense is it will look different than it looked in health and social services because of the governance structure of our state. But I'm pleased that I've already been contacted by some districts, have conversations with superintendents, and there are some good conversations already starting at the local level on how they can be, they can work, compact, engage more with tribes in their local area. So how it will look, I don't know, and I don't want to constrain what I think are going to be some really good conversations by predicting. But I will be happy to keep the committee updated as those conversations progress, and also say publicly that I hope the committee members will be involved in some of those conversations. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman. Thank you for being here today, Commissioner. You know, we're talking here about early funding of education, and it certainly makes sense. It doesn't take a big leap to get to the rationale for doing that. But a lot of citizens ask the question, well, fundamentally, what are we funding? What kind of results are we seeing? You mentioned the difficulty in finding math and science teachers, and I'm a big fan of science and mathematics. My husband taught those subjects for 14 years. We know that mathematics is the international language, but getting more fundamental, I'm a huge fan of reading competency. As a homeschool mom, I had the privilege of teaching my three children how to read. And with that skill, they moved beyond my husband and I in accomplishments. So when a child can read, they can go anywhere in their lives. But we have pretty bad results in terms of reading competency. I know you know that. I know it's difficult to hire science and math teachers, but reading specialists are probably even more difficult, and I'm kind of wondering where we're going with that. I met with a group of moms who have dyslexic kids, and they have no resources in this state from their perspective. Now, perhaps that's inaccurate, and I'm open to more information about that. But tell me about reading.
Through the chair, Senator Geisel, thank you. As I said at the end of my prepared testimony, I hope that all of the work I'm doing means that there will be students in this state in 5 years that can say, I'm a reader because of the work we did today. And I hope that as the commissioner and having the privilege of being in this role, that no one in this state advocates more for kids learning to read than the state's commissioner of education. Posey Boggs may pose a challenge to that, but I'm trying to be because she is a strong advocate. Reading, I share your sentiment that reading is important. I think there are places in the state that it's very difficult to recruit reading specialists. I think there are places in the state where we have some phenomenal reading specialists working with students. So through the challenge and through the ESSA accountability system, I hope reading is an emphasis. We won't get, I'm assuming that we will have hearings sometime on the ESSA plan, but Alaska did something a little unique, and we put in our accountability system a component that incentivizes schools getting all students proficient by the end of third grade in reading. And I can explain that more fully at a later date, but that reflects our commitment to emphasizing reading, and we know that if we can get a student reading proficiently by the end of third grade, everything else goes more efficiently and effectively in their education from then on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Senator. Further questions?
Actually, I do.
Senator Hughes.
Since we are do have the bill before us, Mr. Chairman, thank you. And as a former superintendent commissioner, I'm going to ask you to think back to those days and then think around the state at the various districts. I understand that having the funding settled early would just eliminate havoc in districts, and I appreciate that because one of the things we all know is the increased daylight at the end of the school year, and that's disruptive enough to student learning and kids getting to bed. And I remember when my kids were in school, it was one, if you look at the historic timeline that was provided to us, it was in the years when those decisions were made late, and there was demonstrations on the sidewalk and big concern about pink slips. So I really appreciate that. But I'm wondering if, let us say that this bill were to pass and were to be in place, and the funding piece by April 1 was settled, but it wasn't to the satisfaction of the districts and education advocates, would you see that there could still be that kind of havoc where there would still be a struggle to try to get more funding, and that pink slips could still be issued, trying to get more funding, some supplemental funding in the final budget that maybe was pushed till June, or you know, I don't like to see the budget pushed that late, but is there potential, or do you think this would solve it and we wouldn't have to worry about the pink slip issue?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, I wouldn't say that early funding eliminates the possibility or even probability of pink slips, depending on the amount of that funding. And so, so thinking back, as you said, to Superintendent, there were other factors other than just the BSA that affected our funding, like the Hold Harmless Clause. And so it gives you 4 years to deal with a drop in enrollment. Our funding would have gone down anyway, even if the BSA had remained the same or even gone up a little. So there still was the potential there could be pink slips, and that's just the nature of balancing a budget. But I think the process for issuing pink slips and planning for the next year and focusing on not inadvertently focusing all the attention on the money is it becomes more efficient the earlier in that process that you can make that happen. And I'm speaking to this one piece. I know there are many other factors that, you know, impact all this, but it would make the process more efficient. There would still be instances where pink slips would go out. And, you know, where people are involved, there's always the potential for havoc no matter what you do. And so, you know, that could still happen. But it just becomes more efficient, I think.
And I have a follow-up. Yes, I have a follow-up, and I appreciate, because I'm trying to be out of the box here. And I asked a question with my groggy voice online, but I didn't get to hear the answer from you last week. And as Senator Stevens had mentioned, this was just one way that we could address this issue, and I brought up another way. So I'd just like to hear your response. And that would be if the fiscal calendar for districts were to be changed to the calendar year, and we'd need a transition year to make that happen, and so that we would be funding, for instance, in this budget, a budget for schools that wouldn't start until next January, for instance. What are your thoughts on that kind of solution? Would that maybe settle things a little bit more or a little bit less, or could you just comment on that as a possible solution?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes. First, I want to say that I think some of the finance folks and folks from Alaska could probably speak more technically to that idea. So I think ideas like that should be explored. One issue would be, though, then school districts would have three different fiscal years they're dealing with. They'd have the state, or they'd have their fiscal year as a district. They'd have the states, and then they'd have the federal fiscal year. And so there'd be three different ones, and some of the auditors and financial folks may would need to speak what that may or may not mean, if anything.
Follow up?
Yes, please.
Would it be potential that their local and the state could be combined and be just the calendar year, so they just still have two?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, I'm processing as, I guess it would depend on when that would fall, because you would want it to sync somehow with the school year, I would think, if I'm understanding kind of idea right. So, but I think the answer could be yes, and it could be no, depending on starts the school year. You wouldn't want a school district's fiscal year, I think, to be in the middle of a school year, I would think.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. While we're on that subject, this bill does say April 1st, but that was sort of a placeholder. I'm not sure if that's the right date. Are there other dates that would be just as acceptable, Commissioner?
Yeah, any time before, Chair Stevens, any time before April 1st would probably be appealing.
A good point, thank you.
But there may be some, last year the final budget was in June or July, and so, you know, I think that's a number that stakeholders and folks can speak to, and then the legislature, as you weigh all the other issues, can.
You're comfortable with April 1st then?
Yeah, April 1st, yeah.
Well, thank you. Senator Hughes brought up the issue of how this actually transpires, and let me say first, this is not the only way to do it, and it doesn't have to be the way we do it. I appreciate having the opportunity to bring this bill before you, to have an opportunity for us to talk about it, to get it on the record. The House Representative Seaton is discussing it in House Finance. Senate Finance is discussing it. I don't really care how we do it, as long as we do it. That's the main issue there. So it doesn't have to be this way at all. And we'll be looking at that April 1st date, whether that's the right date or not. Further questions of the Commissioner? Thank you very much, Commissioner. I appreciate your time. Next, I'd ask Tim Parker to come forward. Tim is the president of NEA Alaska. Mr. Parker, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Nice to have you right here in the building.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to give some in-person testimony to you guys. I've talked to most of you individually. So For the record, my name is Tim Parker. I serve as the president of NEA Alaska, and my preferred title, of course, is teacher, something I've done for a couple decades of my life, and I have a ton of passion for that particular job and what we do in classrooms every day and around the state. Student learning is by far the center of what we're doing, and I appreciate the slide staying up there for Alaska Education Challenge, because you can see right in the center of that is the student learning piece, an excellent education for every student every day. That's what we're all about. Student learning is what I can tell you, you know, from my own personal experience and from speaking to so many of our thousands of educators around the state, that's what motivates them. That's what we care about. Every day when we come into a classroom, we're thinking about how much learning can we make happen in that classroom with those kids that are there with us. And at the end of the day, you judge yourself on how much happened that day. And some days are better than others. Some days you're very successful and you go charging out the door and everything happened the way it should and maximum amount of learning happened. And other days it's not always perfect. Sometimes you're not seeing what you want to happen and you go home and you're thinking about how to make that happen the next day. But that's the motivator. That's what gets us going. That's what we care about. That's what we think about. So we spend way too many hours of our waking hours probably doing to the detriment potential of maybe our spouses who say, hey, come on, it's 7 o'clock. Let's go out and have let's have dinner and let's go for a walk or something. We love that, and we know that it takes strong relationships with students in order to make that happen. And those take time. In your first year, or your second year of teaching, you might be pretty good at it, but you tend to get a little bit better as time goes on. There tends to be a cycle that can happen. And I think we saw some of the bad parts of that happen last summer when we created a situation where we ended up laying off a lot more people than we needed to. And then we tried to hire them back, and many of them weren't there. But those relationships that we establish with students are where the maximum learning happens. So we need to lean into those relationships as much as we can, and we need to build that trust with those families and with the kids themselves so that they can get the maximum learning experience. So the more quality that is, the better. So I think it's clear, and I'll say it very, very clearly for the record, NEA Alaska supports the passage of 131. We are very much in favor of that. We think it's the right way to go. We think it's what Alaska needs at this point in time. We very much appreciate that other education groups are standing with us on that support. The school districts, the superintendents, principals have all penned support. There's testimonial letters right out there today on the counter that indicate even more support is coming in for this. So we appreciate that. And yeah, I think I heard a couple times in the previous testimony, it provides certainty. This certainty is what was missing last year and led to some serious problems. The Alaska Education Challenge, it's up there on the board, and it has occupied a lot of our waking hours, and I think it's going to occupy a lot more, which is really good. First, let me say the same thing the commissioner did, and thank you for your individual work on the different committees. I, too, was on a committee, as were a handful of other teachers, and we got down in the weeds in some of those committees, and we were talking about education the way it actually happens in schools. And so your willingness to engage at that level for those discussions, very much appreciated. As an organization, NEA Alaska is committed to the success of the Alaska Education Challenge. Just last week, we had our annual meeting. We brought in 336 of our members as delegates to Anchorage for a meeting for 3 days, and they voted unanimously to support moving forward with the Alaska Education Challenge and our support of that. That was a big deal, very big deal, actually, for them to look at this very carefully, take a hard look at these three commitments, talk about what some of the words mean and how they see that playing out in classrooms. And they gave it that initial piece of support. It really is step one in a process. So step one is you get buy-in from the leaders and the organizations. And for us, you know, we have a pretty big steering committee of 336 people. But we know that there's 15,000 educators out there in the state, and they have not had a chance to dig into this and what it looks like and talk about what those mean. We envision over the next 3 to 6 months, hopefully engaging every single one of our educators in the state around these commitments, talking about what they mean in their classrooms, doing it collectively with their principals, with their superintendents, school boards, parents, communities, and those could be spectacular discussions. It also, it's interesting that ESSA is up here at the same time because ESSA is part of those same discussions and will come in and does have its own set of rules and expectations coming in. Now, what's going on with the challenge is really good for Alaska. It's quality and it's what we need to do. And honestly, this doesn't happen every day. In fact, as the commissioner noted, when you see all of the education groups in the state all giving a big thumbs up to this plan at the same time, that's unusual. And we should stand up and take notice of that and try to create the help this plan go forward in a way that will be successful for Alaska students. At the same time, we saw what happened last summer. We saw that everything is not perfect and that when we got to a late budgeting position as we did last summer, that many of our best educators decided to leave Alaska. That was tragic, and that harm that happened when they left, and they, we were scrambling to hire many people in July and August to fill positions, and we were unable to do so. We started the year as a state with 250 open teaching positions. That's not a good way to start. If you're a parent, and many of you are, I am, you do not want your student to be sitting in a classroom where there's a substitute teacher or a paraeducator is the only person there. We can't find a teacher for you. Sorry. That's really not acceptable, and we should not step up for that. And when we're hiring that late, we're losing our best and brightest, many of them leaving because of the uncertainty. We're putting a lot of newer teachers into that position, and that can be a real struggle. So passing 131 means that I think that we can retain the best and brightest in our state. We can get there early before other states snatch up some of our best educators, and we need to push forward into that. And I think passing this, and the question was asked earlier, April 1st. I think you move it up to an earlier date, and I think the success goes up even more. Because there are going to be states looking to hire teachers here within the next month or so. They get out there, they're recruiting early. Early bird gets the worm. We do not want them to take our precious cargo, these educators who have spent years and years and years in this state, and say, I'm not sure if there's going to be a position for me here. Maybe I should look to go to Wyoming or Florida or something. We want them to stay in Alaska, especially if they've been successful. We want them to continue that strong relationship that they already have with our students and our schools so that they know and understand the community and can make the best things happen there. So we've invested in them over the years, and to just let them go, it's not a very good strategy. It didn't work out for us well. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Powers. We don't often have an active teacher in front of us, and so we really appreciate your being here. And maybe appropriate to thank teachers nationwide who put themselves between an active shooter and their students. And we're talking about safety, the importance of safety. And so often that happens, just a recent event in Kentucky, I believe. But it's the teachers who are there on the first line of defense to protect their students. And we, as a state, certainly appreciate that very much. Questions or comments to... thank you again, Ms. Powers. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We've got some time left, and we'd like to, anyone who wants to sign up, please do that. We have a couple of folks that would like to speak, Jack Walsh from Craig and Monica Goyette from Mat-Su. I've known Jack for many years. Jack, are you with us? Jack was at the Kodiak Island Borough School District for many years, and now he's at Craig.
Chairman Stevens and members of the committee, I appreciate the opportunity to speak for the record. My name is Jack Walsh. I'm the superintendent of the Craig School District in Southeast Alaska and a longtime educator in Alaska. I wanted to take a moment and just speak about Senate Bill 131 and make sure that I voice my support for any efforts for considering the early funding of education. I recognize that, as all of the other speakers have talked about, this is a challenge for us, especially in our rural districts, trying to find out and trying to get and recruiting the best teachers that we can for our students is something that we need to be always keeping at the forefront. I don't want to repeat everything everybody else said. I appreciate the comments by the commissioner and Mr. Parker. I know they're both very knowledgeable on these subjects, and But I did want to just kind of address a couple of things that I thought were sort of important to make sure were said. When you talk about April 1st being a placeholder, I like the idea that, there's a date in April. Our sessions historically were supposed to end in April, and in recent years when they've gone up, you know, those extra months, it's been very difficult to be out finding our best teachers and getting the best people we can to serve the students of Alaska. Another reality that we just know as a profession is, on average, half the teachers that started as teachers will stop teaching within their first 5 years. And so, you know, again, the uncertainty of a late spring and whether there's going to be a job for them or whether there'll be the financing for their position makes it that much more difficult and challenging for people to set plans and to kind of think about their future and their career. And while I appreciate the kinds of ideas about changing fiscal years and thinking about things in ways that are very different, we know that in our history as Alaskan educators, we've had years where we dedicated, early funding and forward funding for the following year. And, some of those things have been great. They've added stability to what we're trying to do, and they've allowed us to make decisions long before they might in another situation. However, often they're short-term, and they're ideas that help us for a little bit of time, but as there are changes, that can sometimes go by the wayside. I did appreciate the questions about, well, if we do early funding for education, is that going to make sure, will that guarantee that no one's in there at the end of the session saying, hey, we could still use more help? I don't know that it will. And yet, I think that by making that commitment to the bigger part of the education funding earlier in the session, it does allow us some breathing room. And, education wouldn't be the only department, I think, as legislators, you raise lots of requests throughout your session and even before and beyond, because agencies and individuals want you to know that their hope is that there can be something else done in a different session. So, I've spent a number of years working in our rural districts, and again, these are great places and great communities and kids and families that really need the best teachers and educators and administrators we can get them. And an early funding and an early option like this is going to help us guarantee we are out there looking at the times when people are available. I know people sort of suggested that, sure, any time before April 1st is even better. Historically, we're sitting at the first big job fair for Alaskan teachers is in Anchorage, and it's always around the middle of March. Most years it's around the middle of March, so, that's the time that we want to be equipped to talk about jobs and the positions that we can offer people. Finally, I would just say that, I was at two staff meetings this week, and I'll be at one more today with my middle school, my elementary school, my high school, and our teachers are not only doing a great job every day in their classroom, they're thinking about how we can be better. We know we face criticism at times that what you're investing in isn't always the product that you're hoping for, and the reality of it is that we like Tim said, there are days where everything goes great, and there's other days where the challenges are significant and things do not work out exactly as planned. But we are, making our efforts to improve in reading and math and science and so many other areas, and we are hoping to prepare our students for that future that they all deserve and an opportunity to do anything that they want to. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak, and especially your efforts on behalf of the students of Alaska. So thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent Walsh. I appreciate your comments. And we have a couple more folks that want to speak. There may be others in the audience that want to speak to this issue. I have to leave a few minutes before the hour. Senator Coghill has agreed to chair the rest of the meeting. If there are additional comments that folks have, we may actually end in time. If not, we'll continue to hear those comments. We will be taking this bill up again tomorrow. 8 o'clock in the morning is often a hard time to get everyone here and get people, particularly educators, here because they have other commitments. So we will take the bill up tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. and have a chance to hear everyone that wants to speak. So at this point, if there's anybody in the room that wants to speak, please sign up out there and we'll make sure we get to you. But at this point, we'll ask Monica Goyette, who's the Matsubara School District. Monica, are you with us?
Yes. Good morning, Senator Stevens and members of the Senate Education Committee. For the record, my name is Dr. Monica Goyette, Superintendent of the Matsubara School District, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of Senate Bill 131 today. And I was really excited to get to hear from our Commissioner of Education. Matsu has been thrilled with the work with his leadership, the BEAD and the Great Alaska Challenge. So, Senate Bill 131 recognizes the need for more predictability in school finance, and in the absence of a multi-year funding plan, school districts are waiting too long before they know what funding will be available in the coming year. This year-to-year funding model brings about a great deal of uncertainty and limits planning efforts. And because the budget process for school districts involves many variables, such as enrollment projections, local funding amounts, and health insurance renewals, it is imperative that we resolve as many of these unknowns as soon as possible to move forward with planning efforts for the coming school year. Along these lines, school districts need reasonable assurances on education funding in order to compete for and secure the very best teachers. Without knowing funding levels, it is difficult for our districts to adopt a staffing plan that aligns with the anticipated resources, and this delays early hiring and the retention of non-tenured teachers in our districts. Lastly, the state's commitment is critical to moving the budget discussions forward at the local level as well. Because the state of Alaska is our primary funding source, our borough is hesitant to make a final appropriation towards education until our elected officials have a better understanding of what state resources can be expected. So this reality can compound the problem for us and leave our school board contemplating numerous budget scenarios in April and May. And in fact, over the last 2 years, the district didn't pass its annual budget until early June without knowing final revenue amounts from the state. Like others who have previously testified, we would also like to encourage the committee to include a provision in Senate Bill 131 that establishes a hold harmless on education funding if the April 1st timeline is not met. In closing, we believe the Senator Stevens, Gardner, Begich, and Egan's bill represents a smart, thoughtful policy that will allow school systems to operate more efficiently, maintain important programs, and secure the very best teachers, all for the benefit of the students we serve. Thank you for allowing me to testify today and for your consideration of Senate Bill 131.
Thank you, Dr. Goyette. I believe you're one of the few districts that's actually seeing an increase in student enrollment. Can you tell us how that looks like?
So our enrollment, we are continuing to grow. This past year, we did not grow quite to our expected growth, but we are projecting, again, growth, I think, of about 0.5% next year, about 100 additional students. And so with that growth, it is just an additional concern because we then will be hiring more teachers with more students. And the longer we have to wait, you know, the pool of teachers is limited. And so let's say there's 100 teachers out there, and there's some districts that can start looking at that pool in April. If we're looking at that pool in August, September, October, it doesn't mean that we still can't find some good quality teachers. But if there's 25 teachers left in the pool at that time, obviously it is a more limited pool in accessing really the very best teachers that we want for our kids.
Thank you, Dr. Goyette. Questions? Yes, Senator Hughes.
Yes, good to hear your voice, Superintendent. And you mentioned 0.5% growth for next year, about 100 students. What was the growth for this current year? What was the number of students?
So this year we were projecting 300 students, and we got about 50% of that. We got about 150 students. So we definitely saw our growth really over the past decade is slowing down a little bit, and probably what we'll be projecting over the next few years will reflect that. Probably about 75 to 100 students is probably what we'll be projecting over the next couple years. And it's great to hear from our delegation in the Matsu, Senator Hughes.
And I have a follow-up for that. Thank you. The students coming into the MATSU, do you have any idea of from where they're coming? Are they coming in from the villages? Are they moving from Anchorage out of state? Do you have that broken out? I'm just curious if we are...
Early on in August, we did not have broken out exactly where they were coming from, and it's something that we are adjusting this year to make sure that all of our practices on identifying exactly where they're coming from so that we can have a handle on that. What we noticed, though, that we had a lot of transients. So we had, you know, about 650 kids come in, but we had about 500 leave. So there was a big change. And one of the things that we're really noticing is our poverty rates are really increasing. So I believe that what we're seeing is folks in the MATSU, those folks that are leaving were higher income earners, and folks that are coming in are struggling more. And just to give you an idea, this year we'll be adding three additional schools that will qualify for Title I funding in our district. They have never before had poverty rates that would qualify for them for that. Cottonwood Creek, Teeland Middle, and Wassail High School.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator. And thank you, Superintendent Goyette. Appreciate your spending time with us. Let's go on to David Neese from Anchorage. Mr. Neese.
Yeah, hi, this is David Neese. For the record, David Neese, calling for myself. Senator Stevens, thank you for bringing this bill in there. One of the things I've noticed in the theme of the people that are talking is the decision on teachers has to be made early. But what usually happens in the budget cycle is they look at the system of education. And your state constitution says you have to establish a system of education. So while this bill would indeed fund the system, there's no guarantee it funds the teachers first. So the thing that's missing in this bill is a prohibition against school districts letting teachers go. So if you want to make sure the system functions better, you just need to say, we will fund you for the teachers you had last year. And then there's no decision on, you know, whether the population of the schools goes up or down until you get to October. And the districts would know that their teachers were going to be there again next year. They wouldn't have to worry about retention and stuff until people turn in the retirement papers. So the model that you have, the bill that you have in front of you, does look at the early funding, but it looks at the early funding in the entire system. And what you're trying to fix is the pink slip, which is the early funding of the teachers. And you've noticed in the Alaska Journal of Commerce, they have a good article talking about how many districts now are starting to cut their administrative staff in the budget decision process. So something in this bill that would guarantee that you have, the state requires that you fund the teachers at the level you had them at last year, would do the function which you're looking for, which is to reduce the annual pink slip parade political leverage against the state for more funding of the entire system. So it's a good bill. It's a good conversation. If the intent is indeed to protect teachers from pink slipping, that needs to be in there as a component. That's required that districts fund them at the level they were funded from the state last year, and the state will commit to that level. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Mr. Neese. Questions, Mr. Neese? Thanks so much for your comments. Anybody else signed up? Tim? Okay, well, actually, I think we can do this in an hour. I really appreciate everyone being here. Yes, please, Dr. Paradis. As she's coming up, just to remind you that we will be meeting tomorrow at 3:30 to take up this bill again. And Dr. Paradis.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify briefly this morning, and welcome back, Senator Hughes. It's really nice to see you today. As I testified the first time this bill was heard, our members stand in support of this bill. And so I won't reiterate that, but I do want to remind you that we represent superintendents, principals, elementary and secondary, school business officials, and other school administrators. And I handed out our joint position statements last time, and I hope, Senator Hughes, that you received one, but I brought one for you just in case, where it shows that our highest priority is timely, reliable, and predictable revenue for schools. So this is right in line with that. What I wanted to say today briefly, because the commissioner did such a great job outlining education challenge and the importance of us being able to focus on the quality in education and not be as worried about, you know, filling our vacancies and our classrooms who are going without teachers. So I wanted to, in that vein, just share with you and say that I echo the testimony of our members that spoke earlier, Dr. Goyette and Jack Walsh, and certainly the commissioner as our former president of the organization. But we, this weekend, and I wanted to invite you to this, are focused on effective instruction and passing a bill like 131 allows for our educators to be focused on things they need to be focused on, which is professional learning and supporting our staff to do the job they need to do for in our classrooms. And so I just want to take a second and hand these invitations out to you. If you're in Anchorage this weekend, it's the largest conference in Alaska. Every year we'll have 1,100 teachers and educators there. And if you're in Anchorage on the weekend, please please join us for our events. So I just want to give those to you and let you know that we're focused on quality, education challenge in terms of increasing student success and support to responsible and reflective learnings. That's where educators want to be. It's what you talked about all last session. We're responsive to that. That's where we need to be focused, and that's why this bill is so important. Let's take care of our essential needs of getting our vacancies filled so we can focus on the important work like we're trying to do. So I want to pass these out, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Dr. Kirby.
I can. Thank you, sir. Mr. Lampkin, my name is Dr. Lisa Skiles-Parody, and I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators, and thank you for that reminder. Thanks.
So if you will give those to Mr. Lampkin, right, and he'll make sure that one last question for you, Dr. Parody.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I wouldn't expect an answer at this early point, but you just heard we had testimony from Mr. Neese about something in the bill that would secure the same level of funding for teachers in prior years. I'd just be interested in your organization's thoughts on that suggestion, so that might be something you could bring back to us. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hughes, I will do that. Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. Skiles-Parody. Is there any other testimony at this point? I think since we're going to be meeting tomorrow, we'll pick this bill up again tomorrow. And without any further testimony, we'll go ahead and adjourn this committee to the next meeting. Thank you. We're adjourned.